Welcome to the Ingrained Podcast. We are a collective of young people passionate about sharing Jesus with our local communities. We would like to invite you to join us on the first Friday of each month. All details can be found on our social media accounts. In case you've missed a program, find any past messages wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you find it to be a blessing, and we look forward to seeing you at a future event.
There we go. I got a microphone. Let's play our hands together for the person who donated this tonight. Fantastic. You got me. Let's pause our hands together once more for King Jesus. Let's make a loud noise and see how loud we can get in this place. Come on. Give it up for Jesus. Come on. Give it up. All right. So privileged to have Tennille up here on the stage with me. She's going to be with me until I pray. So thank you so much, Tennille, for giving me company. If you don't know me, my name is Letho. I herald from a country town called Kingaroy. That's right. I think some of you might know that from last time, but it's actually responsible for growing most of Australia's peanuts and for producing most of Australia's bacon. So it's the best place to be. Imagine living in a town like that. What kind of opportunities that it affords you. So after this Ingrain, I want to see you all out there celebrating with me. Tennille, I was actually there this week, but she didn't text me. How sad is that? She did a driving test. She was there for hours and yet never got the time to text Letho. But that's all right. We're a forgiving people. Hopefully next time we'll see how we go. Good to have us all loose. Good to have you here tonight. Whatever background you are, wherever you come from, or wherever you live, and whatever part of your journey with Jesus you are on at the moment, I'm so glad that you're here tonight. You're in the right place. It's going to be a good, fun time tonight as well. But I think before we begin, it'll just be appropriate if I just ask God's blessing on this. Is that all right, everyone? We'll just pray one final time. Heavenly Father, we just ask that over these next few moments, Lord, you just have your way in the hearts of everyone who's here tonight. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit just descends powerfully on this room right now. May it fill all of our hearts. May it just prompt us with a message from this message that we can take into our week ahead. May it flavor our walk with you. May it strengthen us and empower us to live a life with Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want you to cast your minds back now, a couple of years, all the way back to 2021. And while you're doing that, let's put our hands together for Tennille. She's going to resume her seat. I almost forgot to give you the cue. You could have been there the whole time too. Anyway, we'll try it next time. We'll gradually increase the amount of time that you're up the front every time I'm invited back. Okay? All the way back to 2021. Now, I'm aware also that I have shared a similar story to this with the crew at North Pine Christian College already. So if you were there right back in March, lucky you, you get to be blessed for the second time. So, but for those of you who weren't there in that particular day, I sort of talked about how great 2021 was. You remember how good it was when the borders were shut? Do you remember how good it was when we had to stand 1.5 meters away at all times? If someone coughed, do you think you had to run away from them and shun the non-believer? Do you remember those sort of times? How good were they? 2021. And I'm sure we all lived through it and we don't want to have to live through that again. But it wasn't all bad, everybody. 2021 actually had some unintended side effects that actually benefited us Queenslanders quite remarkably. You see, because Queensland had done such a good job at keeping COVID out and hardly any people had it, and because New South Wales were just lost control, they'd just thrown in the towel from the very beginning, what the NRL and AFL did is they moved all of their teams up to Queensland and they played every single game up here in Queensland. Who remembers that time? What a great time. What a time to be alive. Anyway, for a country bloke like me who doesn't really get to come down to Brisbane or the Gold Coast and see very many NRL matches, this was like a little taste of heaven for me because I really love NRL. Those of you who know me a little bit know that I love NRL. And I thought, great, this is such a fantastic blessing. Let's go down and we'll watch a match. Let's just pick one and we'll go down and we'll watch it. We'll have a good time. We'll cheer them on. We'll do everything we want. So we picked a match between the Melbourne Storm and the West's Tigers. Now, this was going to be a really, really close game. For those of you who follow NRL, it was going to be a nail-biter, just a small little hair length between these two teams. And so we drove all the way down from Kingaroy. It was about 3.5 hours till we got to the Sunshine Coast Stadium. And we went all the way in. It was freezing cold. We We got our seat up there on the family hill and we were overlooking the Gold Post. It was a beautiful seat. It was fantastic. As I was saying, it was just like a dream come true. It was like eating honey straight from the jar. It was incredible because I don't get to do that very often. Anyway, as I was sitting behind these goalposts, the teams come out, right, and they go to warm up. Anyway, there's this bloke there. I think I've got a photo. Hopefully with the IT, we can get it there. But some of you might know if we can get it up on the screen. Never mind. I'll just have to describe him for you. Imagine a footballer and imagine someone a little bit taller than me. Imagine someone who plays for the Melbourne Storm. And he doesn't only just play for the Melbourne Storm, but he also played for Queensland. And he played for Australia. This was a really important, really, really good player who was on quite a lot of money because of how good he was. Some of you might have heard of the name before, Cameron Munster. Cameron Munster was there. He's taking shots at goal, just warming up. And unfortunately for Cameron Munster at that particular time of his career, he wasn't actually going that well. And we were just sitting there watching him take these shots, and we thought, you know what? Let's have a bit of a go at this. Let's have a little bit of lighthearted banter. In the media at this time, they were saying things like, Cameron Munster is good at a lot of things, but he's not very good at kicking goals. Like, they were literally saying that in articles, professional articles. So we decided to join in and have a little banter of our own. And as Cameron's kicking goals, the whole point of kicking them is to practice so you don't miss him in the game, right? So he's missing a few. And we started yelling out lighthearted things at him like, mate, this isn't AFL. You actually got to get it through the post. You don't get a point for missing. I'm like, oh, check it out. We're just yelling at him, all these things, right? Come on, mate. The goal is to get it through the sticks. Come on, Cameron. Come on, Cameron. We're doing stuff like this, right? Come on, Cameron. And he'd line it up and we'd watch him and we'd go, and then he'd miss it and we'd go, oh, like that, you know, pretty shocking behavior for a pastor to engage in. I'm sure you're wondering. But we're having a good time at Cameron Munster's expense. Anyway, after a little while of this lighthearted banter, we said perhaps one thing too many for the lady that was sitting in front of us. And she was a nice blonde lady, and she turned around and she said, oi, I'd watch what I say about Cameron if I were you. This is his dad. And I thought, oh, great. I've just been dissing this amazing player behind his dad. So I did. I jumped on Insta and I was flicking through Cameron's profile. And it turns out that I wasn't just sitting behind his father. I was sitting behind his father and his mother and his pregnant fiance, his brother-in-law, and who knows how many of his bodyguards that particular evening. So you can imagine when I talked to my mate, I said, mate, I think we've actually done something really, really bad here. That's his wife, fiance, that's his mum, that's his dad. We've just been dissing them the entire time. What are we going to do? So what do you think we did? Do you think we just kept at it, just doubled down and kept going? Not us. We're upstanding country gentlemen. We just did a quick 180 and we turned our behaviour and our larrikinism right around and we started being the most supportive people of the Melbourne Storm that particular game. I don't even support Melbourne. I think they're, you know, you shouldn't have NRL teams in Victoria. Just let the AFL have it, right? So I didn't even care, but I was so embarrassed at my behaviour and how bad I was towards Cameron behind his family that we turned around. Just so you all know that there's a happy ending to this story. After we did all that and after we turned our lives around and started actually being more positive with our speech, we ended up making friends with his family, and we just had a bit of a country connection. They were from Rockhampton, we were from Kingaroy, we sort of the boys from the bush, you know, all sort of banter, and we made friends with them. And at the end of the game, he said, oi, do you want to meet Cameron? I was like, yes, I do. And he took us down to the front, and you know how they just miss people sometimes when they're just trying to get attention? Well, we actually got to have an at-length conversation with Cameron. We talked about stuff, we joked, we laughed, and now we're best friends forever. But it was really interesting, you know, the reason I tell you that story is because I think it highlights a choice that we all have to make, right? In our lives, we can either be people who tear people apart, who tear them down with what we say, or we can be people who build them up and who encourage them. You've got a choice in your life to either tear people down or build people up. And it's the sort of thing that I want to talk about a little bit more about tonight. You see, at Ingrain, we've sort of had this sort of theme text, you could probably say, there. It's all about Naaman and his leprosy. And I won't go through the whole story. We won't read it tonight. But just so you're familiar with it, if this is your first time, if you've never heard the story before, let me just bring you up to speed with what's actually happening. See you, Finn. Thanks for coming, mate. never mind. I know Finn. It's okay. Something I said really offended him. anyway, maybe he's got enough of the message. Oh, he's coming back. Sorry, Finn. Sorry, mate. I thought you'd left, mate. Sorry. Well done. Oh, now I feel great about that. Thank you. Just proved that I've still got work to do. I'm still a sinner in need of God's grace, right? Anyway. The story goes that there's this man called Naaman. He's actually a pretty decorated military guy. He's made a few good accomplishments in his life. And no matter how good he is at military exploits, he actually has one particular problem. And somehow, during these military exploits, he's contracted a deadly disease, and it's known as leprosy. Now, leprosy is not really around today. It might be around in little pockets there around the world. But basically what leprosy was, it was a death sentence. It means your skin would slowly eat itself away to the point where your nerves can no longer feel, and it wouldn't be a really good, it couldn't feel anything from your nerves, and it'd be actually a pretty bad situation. So he gets leprosy, and he's like, great, what am I going to do now? My life's over. And he talks to his wife about it, and long behold, there's actually a servant girl under his wife's name that's serving in her household there that says, hey, I actually know a guy back in my hometown. You should go check it out. He might be able to do something with that leprosy. Yeah, go do it. So he talks to his wife, and he says, yep, sweet, let's go. He gets his king's permission, and he heads all the way into a different country, and he rocks up at the door of a prophet named Elisha. Now, Elisha doesn't want to see him. He doesn't want anything to do with him, and he sends his servant out to say, hey, Elisha says this, just go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Everything will be sweet. Come back when you're done. And so you can imagine how offended that this military general Naaman is. He's like, I've come all this way. What an act of disrespect. He should have just come out of the door and healed me straight away. Why do I have to go and bathe myself in some foreign land, in some foreign river that I don't know anything about? And luckily for him, his servants bring him right back around. He goes and he washes himself in the Jordan River. And long behold, he cures this leprosy. Good story in the end, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Someone gets cured of leprosy. It's an amazing story. You should go check it out yourself, 2 Kings chapter 5, I believe. But what I wanted to highlight about this story is that obviously we know who the main character is, right? We know who's giving off the main character energy. It's Naaman. We all know the story is about him. We all know that he actually wants to be rid of this leprosy. But you know what? This entire story cannot have actually happened if it wasn't for one of the side characters. Right back at the beginning, when Naaman tells his wife that he's got leprosy and he wants to get cured, there is a servant girl in that story that actually tells his wife about the person who could actually cure his leprosy. If it wasn't for this servant girl who's living in another land, away from her family, who's actually been taken and forced into servitude of some foreign power, if it wasn't for her and her words building up or giving an option for healing in this guy's life, none of that story that I just recapped for you ever would have happened. I think that's a pretty amazing thing, right? That's why I want us to consider how we use our words. We can either use our words to tear people down, to beat them up, to keep them down in the mud, or we can turn it around and use our words to build people up for their benefit, for them to receive healing, for them to have a better life than they possibly ever could imagine on their own. You know, I think this story is actually really amazing, but I think the point of the story where this servant girl uses her words to impact another person's life is actually really amazing too, and it's the bit that I wanted to talk about. Have you ever had the chance to sort of build someone up? Have you ever had the chance to do that? Sometimes in life, God puts people in our path that perhaps we don't really get along with. Some of you might have had that experience, some of you might not have. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to deal with people in situations which perhaps I don't really want to deal with. It's not really why I got into ministry, to have to bring, I don't know what the right past tense word of that is, but bring things to a resolution. Sometimes God puts situations in our place where he gives us a choice and he wants to see which way we're going to act. Which way are we going to use our words, for the better or for the worse of the people in this world? Why I find this story so amazing is that this servant girl didn't have to use her words in a positive way. You imagine this, right? Imagine you're at home one day and someone from New South Wales just rocks up with a big army and snakes you from under the grasp of your parents and takes you right back to New South Wales and forces you to sit there and to sing the New South Wales anthem, whatever that is, and anyone from New South Wales can help me, and learn the ways of a New South Welshman or New South woman. Can you imagine how you would feel? Would you feel grateful? No. That's where you say no, everyone. Would you feel grateful? No. You wouldn't feel like doing anything good for someone who's doing so many bad things to you. But you see, this girl, even though she had that excuse, even though she had those reasons why it could justify her actions and being sour with her situation, she doesn't actually do that. You see, she has three choices that she could have utilized instead of actually using her words positively there. Number one, and listen up everyone, because this is going to be you, I'm sure, some of you who are sitting here today. Number one, she could have actually just said nothing at all. How many times when you're in public or you're at school or uni or in your everyday day job and someone is disrespected or someone really needs help, do you just ignore that and turn the other way and go the other way? Have you ever experienced something like that where you go, too hard, can't deal with it right now, someone else's problem, and just keep on doing what you're going to do? Has anyone ever experienced something like that before? You don't have to admit to it because I know almost every single one of you has done something like that before because I have. When I was in grade 12, when I grew up in Toowoomba there, I was sort of on this terraced area, and the year 9 boys were actually below me there on the school oval, and they were doing their touch footy training. And I just heard this one guy who just absolutely started dishing it out to this other kid that was in his team. He was saying stuff like about his family. He was saying stuff about his ability, about the socks that he's wearing. No, he wasn't saying anything like that. But he was just absolutely dishing it out to this kid. And I was there hearing this and witnessing this. And I just got so mad and so annoyed that someone who is in the same team, someone who's on the same peer level, going to the same school, could be that disrespectful to actually say those kind of things to someone. But do you think I actually took the opportunity to go and find that kid and actually build him up afterwards? No, I just kept walking. I just went on to my next class and forgot about it and never told anyone, never did anything about it. And it haunts me to this day. Because I actually had there an opportunity to either use words to either contribute in a way that was negative, or I could have chosen to use my words as an older person, as a senior student in that school, to actually build this person back up, get them standing back on their feet, and actually help them on with the next stage of their life. This servant girl could have chosen to do what I did that day. She could have chosen to just do nothing and to carry on with her life and just ignore the problem of the leprosy that had infected her master's husband. The second thing she could have chosen to do is she could have actually said something very, very little. She could have got on the text that night and texted her mistress and said, "Hey, heard so much about Naaman. Oh, so sorry. Sending prayers XO," and left it at that. Have you ever had that experience before where you hear something bad has happened to someone else, and instead of actually taking the opportunity to build them up, you just actually say the least possible thing to get yourself out of having the responsibility to do something about it? Have you ever done something like that before where instead of helping, you just do the minimum? Because that servant girl could have done that. She could have done very minimum, not even tell them about that prophet that was back in her homeland. But the third thing that this servant girl could have actually done is she could have actually contributed to the situation negatively. She could have heaped on a whole bunch of negative stuff to the situation as well. She could have went home from serving in the household that night and got on the group chat and said, "OMG, did you hear about Naaman? Did you hear that he's got leprosy? What a loser." I don't know if that's what people say, but what a loser. I can't believe that that's happened to him. You know what? He must deserve it. There must be something that he's done and God is just punishing him. Too bad, too sad. Hashtag sucks to suck or something like that. She could have actually came to this situation and instead of doing what she did, which was give an option for this guy's healing, she could have heaped on all this other stuff and made the situation worse. And I don't know about you, some of you who are here this morning, this afternoon, tonight, that's the one I was after, might have been in a situation like this before, where you actually have an opportunity to build someone up, to give them another option, to bring positivity to their life, but instead, you've just joined with the crowd, haven't seen a way out of the situation, and just have pushed them further down into the mud and actually made the situation worse. You've actually tore them down instead of building them up. This servant girl has the opportunity to either just ignore the situation. She has the opportunity to either say the minimum that she needed to do just to get herself out of it, or she could have chosen to actually be an echo of all the negative voices in that person's life. But do you remember what she actually chose to do? Instead of being a person who used her words to tear someone down, and she could have actually been justified in that. Remember, she's from a different country. She's been taken away from her family and her friends. She's in a situation which she doesn't want to be in, and she could be justified with doing any other option. Instead of doing any of those options, she chose to build this person up by giving them opportunity to go and be healed by someone that she knew could actually help them. And so the reason why I want to talk about that tonight, why this actually matters for all of us who are here tonight, and for those who are going to be watching the recording or listening in the podcast later on, the reason why I want to talk about this is because I can't be more clear. All of us, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what family background we come from, no matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, all have a choice. We can either use our words to tear people down, or we can use them to build people up. Now, I would hope and I would assume that if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus, if you believe in God, or perhaps you're here and you don't actually fully believe in Jesus yet, maybe you're sort of just testing the waters, trying to figure it out, I would actually assume that most of us here want to be good people, right? We don't want to be bad people. We don't want to be known for doing these sorts of things. We want to actually be people who are good and actually want to follow Jesus and follow his example. If we're people who believe in that and want to do that, we need to be the kind of people who are going to build people up with the language that we're actually given. You see, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to look at what Jesus did while he was here and doing his ministry for those short few moments he had while he was on earth. You see, Jesus, he was the type of guy that always wanted to build people up. Sure, there were times where he went out of his way to rebuke and to tell people that what they were doing was not on. But overall, he wanted to go and build people up to make a difference in their life, to help them to understand things that perhaps they didn't understand, or perhaps to be healed or have a different perspective in life. Jesus wanted to help people and build them up. And you can see this happening all the way through his ministry. And I want you to go home and do a bit of homework after this. When you go to the Gospel of John and you actually see how much of the Gospel of John is actually allocated to those final few moments between when Jesus finishes the Passover meal and when he gets arrested in the Garden of Eden, he is just taking every single moment that he can while they are walking to that garden to just sow into people's life, to build them up, to give them tools to be better people. He's just all about building people up. And when you finally get to the cross where Jesus is doing the ultimate act of sacrifice there for all of us, while he's on the cross and people are ridiculing him and making fun of him and doing things and just were just detestable, do you remember the words that Jesus said when he sees this behavior in front of him on the cross? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He's trying to build them up before his heavenly Father. He's trying to gain forgiveness for them, even though they don't deserve it in that particular moment. You see, Jesus was the type of person that wanted to build people up every single chance that he could utilize. And I want you to think about that question again tonight. If we're a Jesus follower, if you want to be a good person, are you the kind of person that wants to tear people down, or do you want to build them up? I'd hope that most of us who are here tonight and who are listening to the podcast would actually be the type of people that want to build people up. And I know you're all asking, like, yes, you've given examples already, but what is a way that we can know or practically build people up in our life? And I'm going to bring us right back to another football analogy, all right? Do we have the picture up the back? There we go. Look at that. Wonderful. This is up the back, yep, up the back, yep. Turn around and have a look. This is what I regard as the greatest coach in the NRL at the moment and the most beautiful man slash talented man in the NRL at the moment. This is Nico Hines, the Cronulla Sharks captain, when he was playing, and the coach, Craig Fitzgibbon. Now, when you go and you have a look at the post-match conferences, no matter whether they lose, no matter whether they win, no matter whether they wipe the floor with the other team and put on a cricket score, or no matter whether they lose by a lot themselves, what they always do is they build up the opposition. They will say things like, you know what, credit to those guys. They fought hard. They worked hard. They have some really talented players in their team. They're going places. No matter what happens in the game, they're always prepared, first and foremost, to build up the other team before they even accept accolades or talk about things that they could have done better themselves. In our word today, we need to be a little bit like that. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter whether we like it or we not, whether we've drawn the short straw or we're doing really well in our lives, we've got to be the type of people that first and foremost seek to build people up in our lives. No matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what they're doing, no matter how they've treated us, no matter what we think of them, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to be like that servant girl in that particular story and seek to build people up no matter the circumstance. So today, I want all of us who are here today, as Tennille figures out something on the laptop, I want you to just stand with me wherever you are tonight. And I'm going to do a little bit of an appeal today. I want you who are here today to commit to three things with me, because this is just a challenge for me as well, right? I'm not saying that I've got it together. I'm not saying that just because I'm a pastor, I can get it right every single time. I still struggle. I still get things wrong. I still make fun of people, even when I'm not at the footy, by accident, of course. But I want you to commit to some things here with me this evening. Number one, I want you to commit to looking for opportunities where you can build people up in your life. I believe that God has so many things in store for us, so many opportunities for us to make a difference in this world. We just have to keep our eyes open to it. We have to be looking and searching for opportunities to make a difference in people's lives and to build them up. So that's point number one, look for the opportunity. Number two I want you to think about is I want you to commit to building people up and not tearing them down. We actually have to make an effort to do this in our life. It's not something that comes as a second nature to us. We actually have to commit to it, to building people up as Jesus did in his life as well. And finally, I want you to commit tonight to pointing people towards the one person that can make a difference in your life. You see, this servant girl back in 2 Kings, she didn't just pray for the person. She didn't just wish them well. She didn't just say, oh, that's too bad. But she actually offered to point this person towards someone that who could make a difference in their life. She pointed towards a prophet who she knew could bring healing in Naaman's life. And I know all of us have someone today that is way more powerful than the prophet Elisha, way more powerful than anything that we have in this world. We actually have someone who's incredible, Jesus Christ, to point people towards in order to build them up in their life. You see, everyone here tonight, I believe that Jesus wants the best for you. I believe that he's got a plan that's so much better than you could ever possibly conceive. I believe that he wants good things for you and he wants you to contribute positively in this world and to make a difference. And so tonight I'm going to pray for all of us here about those three things. One, look for the opportunities. Two, be a person who builds someone up and doesn't tear them down. And three, be a person who points them towards the ultimate healer, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads wherever we are. And if this is someone, if this is something that you want to do and you want to commit to, I just want you to raise your hands where you are right now. If you want to, look for the good opportunity. If you want to be a person who builds up and doesn't tear down, and if you want to be a person who heralds people towards Jesus, just raise your hand wherever you are right now, and I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, we thank you so much tonight for the people who are standing here and have chosen to be difference makers in this world. Help all of us today and tonight and the days that are going to come from here to be people who look for the opportunity to do good, who want to build people up and not tear them down, and point people towards the ultimate healer, Jesus Christ. Help us to do those things, Lord, and we pray that from this moment onwards, we will be those sort of people that strive towards those goals. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.